Good morning, church. Happy New Year to you all. Please bear with me if I don't pronounce some words correctly. All right, let's go to our Bibles. Psalm 103, chapters 1 to 22. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destructions, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness, judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place therefore shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, he his angels that exult in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless he the Lord, holy his host, he ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
I believe it's helpful from time to time for us to reflect back on what God has done and then look forward to what he's going to do. And so my goal this morning is for us to come from the book of Psalms, chapter 103, and for us to look through them. Now, let me just tell you what happened this week. And so you guys know, normally we're in the book of Luke at this point. We're walking through it. Very easy for me to find out what's our passage going to be for this coming week. In fact, this next week I'll be preparing with the woman with the alabaster box, if you know that story. I'll be studying that all this week. And so this last week, as I began to prepare for Vision Sunday, I was just wondering, Lord, what are you going to have? What passage do you want me to be in? And so then I was just in my regular devotions. I do this every morning. I spend 40 minutes or so every morning just reading from Scripture. And this is normal. This is my part of my life. I hope that it's part of your life, Christian spiritual disciplines. I hope that you spend time in the Word every day. And so this one particular morning this last week, I sat and I prayed, Lord, before I open the Word, today, God, would you just give me something special? I'm just looking for something special from you. And in the course of my reading was Psalm 103 this week. As I read it, it's the Psalm Brother Ian already read. How many times it says, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And as I began to walk through it, I began to realize there's three very clear sections in Psalm 103. One of them, the first one, and we're going to see this in just a minute. The first section is, bless the Lord for those amazing things He's already done in our lives. And then there's a middle section, bless the Lord for what He's doing right now. And then there's another section, you can probably already guess, bless the Lord for what He's going to do. And so I want to take this psalm this morning, and let's just walk through it together. I'd like to start right in chapter 103, verse number 1. Let me read down the first 7 verses with you. Here we go. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. And here he goes. He's going to list them off for us. Who forgiveth all our iniquities. Thank God. that He forgives us of our sins. And He heals all our diseases. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfies thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made His ways, made known His ways unto Moses and His acts unto the children of Israel. I love the way that he just goes, hey, God does all of these things, and then he gets very specific there in verse 7. He said, God showed his ways. He showed them to Moses, and then he showed his acts to the nation of Israel. He told Moses, I want you to lift up that rod over the Red Sea, and it will part. I mean, do you ever think about that? As they're coming out of Egypt and they get down to the Red Sea? I mean, the book of Exodus very clearly tells us the people are terrified when they get to the Red Sea. It is an army coming behind them. There is nowhere to go left and right. And there's a massive sea in front of them. Nobody's ever seen water part before, all right? It just doesn't happen. And then God just tells Moses, put your rod up. Moses doesn't have to go down there and pace back and forth and try to figure out how do we get enough rafts and ships to get all these people across. Instead, God just goes, lift up your rod. And he does it. And then all of Israel gets to watch as the greatness of God is displayed. And the sea parts. Now listen, if the sea had parted, that would have been pretty awesome. But then the ground went dry. You can't walk around this building right now. Okay? It's muddy, right? That's a huge thing. Take 2 million people and run them through the mud. That's disgusting. And so God went, here, I'm going to part the water. You guys walk across on dry land like dust kicking up and getting in your eyes. That's pretty awesome. Here's God doing the amazing things. And guys, I think it's sometimes great for us, like He did with the nation of Israel. Hey, take a look back. So let me just kind of tell you where we've come from. Because some of you are really kind of mostly new. Some of you are really new. Some of you have been around for about a year or so. I look back. Very few of us have been together for more than 2 years. All right. So let me just tell you where we've come from. So for my family, we came to Papua New Guinea in 2003, and we lived out in a village called Kodiranga. Outside of me saying the name Kodiranga, how many of you have heard of Kodiranga? Wow. How many of you have been there, Bevan? Bevan walked up there last month. Way to go, Bevan. I'm really proud of you. By the way, that's a hard walk. 3 days. Up the mountain. And we lived out in Kodiranga for about 10, 11 years. Our girls grew up there. They were, when we came, Hannah, I think, was still in nappies. That's a long way. She loves it when I tell those stories. My girls, Tuple, Save, Gudru, Latok, Pizin, they grew up in the village. And we had a fabulous time there, and I got to watch God do some amazing things there. We started off and carved out a little mission station. Well, I don't even like that phrase anymore, but we carved out a little mission station out of the jungle. And grew what God ended up building into Kodiranga Baptist Church. Even this morning, they are meeting probably about 300 people at Kodiranga Baptist Church. Just fabulous. They built their own building. They're building, good gracious. They easily seat 300. They could probably, as the Kamea like to do, they could probably squeeze in 500 or 600 into that building. The floor would probably break first, but they've done an awesome job there. And during that time, I had the opportunity to train up about 18 young men to be pastors and sent them out. I was a part. This church here is my fifth church to be a part of starting a church, and my third church to pastor. I started the church there at Kodiranga, turned that over to local leadership, went and started another church, turned that over to local leadership, and here we are. And guys, just so you know, I plan on being here until I'm a very old man, if God allows it. And so here, we moved here about 3 years ago. Actually, 3 years ago today was my first full day here on the campus. And if you wonder what it looked like 3 years ago, just look next door, okay? That's what it looked like. And what's funny is in about 10 years, somebody's going to pull up the audio from this sermon, and they're going to listen to it and go, what are you talking about? Because next door looks like Garahu, all right? Things are going to change out here in the next 10 years. I believe God really just put us in ground floor. So 3 years ago, New Year's Eve, my first night to sleep here on the property. And I got to tell you, I'll tell you a quick story about how we got the property, because this is just unreal, and most people don't know this, okay? So this slides back to March, now coming up on 4 years ago. I knew that God was moving us away from Kodiranga, but I didn't know where to. In fact, initially, I thought He was going to take us even further remote, that maybe there'd be another people group that needed the gospel. And I know they're all over the country. And so I was praying, God, where would you have us to go? I came into the city, came into Moresby, sat down. There was a pastor's conference. I sat down with the pastors here and I asked them, where do you guys see the biggest need? And they went, Port Moresby is the biggest need. I said, guys, look, there's 18 Baptist churches here in the city. Why have another one? And they went, if you look from Konidobu going that way, there's nobody out that direction. I went, oh, that kind of makes sense. And then they said, we need somebody to help us with education. We need somebody to help us with long term. We need to do something with our grade 12s. Our grade 12s are going on and getting better education than we as pastors have. And they said, we need somebody to help us with training our young people even further. And I said, man, I could definitely see the need there. Went back, prayed with Becky about it. And we spent the next couple of weeks praying. I spent 7 days fasting over it. And then God gave me peace for us to come to Port Moresby. Initially, there was a piece of land over at Gareka. How many of you know where Gareka is? Okay, good. Wow. I'm just making sure there. All right. So initially, there was a piece of land over at Gareka. And we went and looked over at it. Very quickly, the landowners figured out there was a white guy involved. And then all of a sudden, the prices went through the roof. And we went, okay, we're out. We walked away. And the day we walked away was the very first time that Becky and I had driven the road past Motukea. So we'd come down to Motukea, but we'd always turned around. And that day we drove out here, and that day, boy, the Lord just opened our eyes and we went, there's awesome possibilities out here. A few weeks later, Phil Perry, I'd just gotten to know him. A few weeks later, I went down and visited Phil at LCR. And the two of us hopped in his truck and we drove down this road. The idea was that Phil supposedly knew some landowners. That was the idea, all right? And so it turns out his landowners that he knows are all down at Papa. And maybe Boira, but he didn't know anybody in this neighborhood, all right? So we just hopped in the truck and we drove. And we came down the road. You got to get this. We came down the road and we stopped right here on the side of the road. It was 1 o'clock in the afternoon. We didn't know anybody out here. We stopped on the side of the road and we prayed together, the two of us, sitting in the car in his truck. Sat there in the front of his truck and we prayed, God, would you help us, A, to find a piece of land that might be available, and B, would you help us to find the rightful owners of that land so that we don't deal with the wrong people? That was 1 o'clock in the afternoon. We prayed. We drove down to the corner. There was no Beetle Nut Market at that time. We turned around there, went back. I got my car and I started back into the city. On my way back into the city, I received a phone call, and now you got to follow this because this is amazing. I had told Gary Charlie, Gary comes from time to time, has service with us. I told Gary Charlie that we were looking for some land. Gary told a friend of his, who was the headmaster at Grace in Gordon's, he told one of his teachers. Now, I didn't know the headmaster and I didn't know the teacher. But the headmaster told the teacher told her uncle, who again, I didn't know. He lives down at Roku. The uncle told his cousin, who's the old man that's the chief. We're talking about five layers of separation. And I didn't know anybody beyond Gary. I got a phone call at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It's 1 o'clock. We sat out here and we prayed on the side of the road. And at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I got a phone call from a guy down in Koderica that I'd never heard of. And I didn't have a clue what he wanted. He said, you're the pastor. And I hear that you're looking for some land. I said, I'd like to meet you. So I drove down to Koderica. At that time, the road was very bad going down towards Port Ibata. We had a little Pajero Mini. Does anybody remember the little Pajero Mini that said Baptist Church on the side? I'm so glad to be done with that car. Drove that little tiny car down the road and it kept bottoming out on the road. We went down, picked up the old man, got in the car, and we started driving up the road. I had never met him before, hadn't talked to him before. All I know is he's got some land he wants to show us, and I'm terrified. As we're driving, I'm terrified. He's going to say, right there on the side of the road where the road's all destroyed, I'm thinking, who's going to want to come to church out here? We drove all the way back out here to where there was not a Beetle Nut Market, and we turned and we came this way, and he said, I want you to stop right here. Now, this is really cool because he got out of the car, and I'm thinking, you got to be kidding me, okay? He looks at me and he goes, now, we're just now starting to sell off all of these portions of land around here. He said, but this spot right here, he said, this spot right here, a long time ago, I gave this to God. And I've been waiting for God to send his man to come and get it. I just started crying, guys. I'm not kidding. I just started crying. I looked at the old man. I said, you have no idea what kind of an answer to prayer you are right now. Over the next several weeks, and it ended up going into about 2 months, we negotiated with the rest of the clan, because you guys know, ground and me big plus something, it's not just a one-man decision. So the clan had to be involved, and so we got the clan involved. And for what it's worth, we have a very good relationship with our landowners. And here we are, 3 years later, our land is fully paid for. We settled off with the rest of the clan. God gave us a piece of property that we could have never been able to come up with on our own. And here is what I want you to get, Psalm 103. Let me read you verse 2 again. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. From time to time, it's good for us to reflect back on those benefits. When the nation of Israel crossed the Red Sea, they crossed the Red Sea, the water parted and the people went through. And you realize 3 days later, they were short on water. They came to a place called Marah because the water was bitter. Do you remember that? And 3 days later, they forgot that they'd just come across the Red Sea on dry ground. A whole generation later, 40 years went by, a whole other generation later, by this time, Joshua is the leader. And Joshua goes to the Jordan River. He does a very similar thing to what Moses had done. This time, instead of raising the staff, God told him instead, I want you to take those the priest and carry the ark and walk that ark right into the middle of the river. Now, I don't know if you've ever tried to walk into the middle of the river or not, especially carrying an ark. This is going to be a scary moment, okay? The guy in the front, he's going, okay, guys, take your time as we walk in, okay? Don't push me, all right? And so in they go, and just the scripture says that just as his feet touched the water, that the River Jordan stopped. Now, it doesn't say it split. Red Sea, it split, but the River Jordan stopped. And it started backing up. Like, can you imagine the flooding that happened upriver? You guys better look out. And all of the downriver is just going away, and it was dry. And they took the Ark of the Covenant, and they went right into the middle of the Jordan River. And they stopped there as 2 million people walked past them and went around them to the other side. Now, here's what's one big difference between the crossing of the Jordan, the crossing of the Red Sea. When they got to the other side of the Jordan, Joshua said, before you priests come out of the water, where the water used to be, I got something we need to do. He said, boys, go and grab 12 stones from this side and carry those stones and go put them down in the bottom of the Jordan River. Nobody's ever going to see those. But this is special between us and God. And they took those 12 stones, they heaped them up, and then he said, and while we're at it, grab 12 stones from the middle of the river. Because nobody's ever seen those stones before. We're going to take them, we're going to stack them up on the other side, and we want generations to come to pay attention to this. And they grabbed up 12 stones, they came, brought them, put them on the other side. The water receded after the priest came out. The waters went back to where they were supposed to be, and the river continued flowing. There's a bunch of stones on the side, and Joshua made this statement and said, I want us from generation to generation to pay attention to these stones here. Remember. Like, at the same time, this is God making a statement. I am in control. Don't forget it. I'm in control. Don't forget it. So here we sit this morning in a building that 2 years ago, I didn't even think was going to be a reality. 2 years. In 2 years, God's given us a building that looks like this. Unreal. Out of the blue, I was in the States. We had been there for about 6 months, and I was getting ready to come back. We were days away from coming back to Moresby. And at that time, we did not have enough money. Get this. We didn't have enough money to clean the driveway to be able to get up to the house. But let me say that again. We would have been getting our truck stuck in the mud right there. All right. Didn't have enough money to be able to clean the driveway. But God knew so much more than we did. Had a vision. God, we'd love to be able to have a school here. We'd love to be able to start putting up buildings on this property you've given us. God, would you meet the need? I got a phone call. I was in the state of North Carolina. And believe it or not, there are places in America that still don't get cell phone reception. No mobile phones. So we were having dinner with a family. And my phone rang. Of course, it didn't ring on me because it was dead spot. And so when we got finished having dinner, we came back out to the house we were staying at. We came back into cell phone range. Right away, I saw there was a missed call and that there was a voicemail. Now, we don't do voicemails here so much, but in the U.S. they do. That's a big part of their culture. Here we go. Your call will be charged, so hang up. Don't do that. He'll see that I called. He'll know I needed him. And then *12, you know, call me back. And so then I got this voicemail, and I listened to the voicemail, and it was somebody I'd never known. I'd never met him before. I'd never heard of him. And the guy was a pastor, and he went on to tell me, he said, listen, we've been watching what's going on in Papua New Guinea. We've been watching this for about 3 years. And he said, we've just been watching at a distance, and we'd love to talk to you, and we'd like to maybe give a gift to try to help, donation to help with the ministry there. Now, guys, I was days away from coming back to PNG. The last thing I wanted to do was travel across the nation to go and talk to somebody and hope to get a couple $100. Like, there's no way I'm going to be able to do this. I said, Pastor, I would really love to come and meet you, but really we're down to just a couple of days, and I'd like to spend this time with my extended family. He said, it's okay. He goes, we really want to help this ministry, so how about instead of you coming to us, how about I'll come to you? I went, okay, wait, if you're that serious, I'll come see you, okay? You don't have to come see me. And so I went and saw him. Long story short, their church donated the funding to build this building. Guys, this is unreal. Only God can do those sort of things. It's good for us from time to time to reflect back on what God has done because it helps us to increase our faith as we go forward. What is God going to do? I read Psalm 103, verse 2 again. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. And again, God says, I am in control. Don't forget it. And we've got a great big 30-seater Mitsubishi Rosa bus sitting in the parking lot. I gotta say, because Eric's faith was bigger than mine. I wanted a beat up Toyota Coaster, and he wanted a brand new one, so he prayed harder than I did. And guys, I think of Psalm 103, verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. He does all things well. He is in control. Don't forget it. Let's come into verse number 8 now, Psalm 103. Look at verse number 8. So we've talked about what He's done in the past. Let's look at verse number 8, coming down to verse 13. Verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He has not, oh please, church, hold these words dear. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Those are words of comfort. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, and He has not rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities them that fear Him. And I thank God this morning for His mercy and for His grace. And let me just take a minute before we go into the vision. And I'm going to get into vision in just a second. Let me give you just a minute of the difference between mercy and grace. And they are very different. A number of years ago, I was asked to help proofread a new pigeon Bible. They asked me, could you have a look through this and help us proofread this? And I started reading, and right away I ran into a problem. They were translating mercy and they were translating grace as the exact same word, and they're not. They were putting mercy as mari mari and grace as mari mari, and they're not the same. Mercy should be sorry. Grace should be mari mari. Grace is something that we do not deserve, and mercy is not getting what we do deserve. I'll say it again. You and I are sinners before a holy God. And we deserve to spend eternity separated from His presence, yea, even eternity in the lake of fire. That's what we deserve. But in His mercy, He did not give us what we deserve. And instead, because of His grace, He gave us something that we absolutely do not deserve. He gave us the opportunity, yea, even to be the sons of God. He adopted us into His family and He made us at one with Him. He brought us to be heirs together with Jesus Christ. Look, I was a hellbound sinner, and in His mercy He did not squash me. And instead, He extended His grace to me and He drew me to Himself. That's awesome. And so there's a very big difference between mercy and grace. Let me give you some ideas, some things that are before us. And so I don't know if this is the teacher in me or the preacher in me that's coming out here, but I like to systematize things. So I'm going to give you three groups, okay? So we'll give you three groups. First one will be the church, then we'll do the school, and then we'll do C-A-M-P. I just spell it for the young ones, okay? So we'll talk about the church. We'll talk about the church first because the church is primary and always will be primary. Jesus Christ promised, I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And so the church will always be priority here, guys. Everything we ever do will always come underneath the church. The church is primary. So let me just walk through a few things with the church. We started meeting together on the 14th of February in 2015. So coming up on 2 years ago. On that first Sunday, believe it or not, we had over 90 people in attendance. We met in my house. Brother Eric came. That was his very first Sunday. And I think it was a weird thing that happened. There were two things. One, there was a death down at Pori Bada, and so there was no church service down there, and everybody from Pori Bada, I think, just about came up here. And the other weird thing was they got to see what's going on inside this house that's being built up on the hillside. And so we had about 90 people on the first Sunday. The second Sunday, the attendance plummeted, and within the month, we were at where I think was our core. That was population 7. And so we built up from there. And then on the 22nd of November last year, we had our charter service. And then we built up. And actually, today's numbers is an oddity, guys. Our numbers are very low today for what we've had for the last 5 weeks. We've been up in the 180 range. And I think today we're at 130-something. And so our numbers are low today for what we've been. Guys, we're growing very fast. And I honestly think that where we have been a 9 o'clock service and an 11 o'clock service, I don't think we're far away from having to add a third service, which I'm absolutely thrilled. I'll be able to preach three times every Sunday morning. I don't know whether we're going to go to a 9, 11, and a 1, or we'll just slide all those back and do an 8, 10, and 12. I got to let the pastoral staff decide that. But I don't think we're far away from it. If we're at 180 right now and we're only running the big bus for one run, starting next week when we're running the bus for two runs, I think that our numbers are going to begin shifting up again. So when we hit up around 220 pretty consistent for a number of weeks, I think that's going to be when it's time for us to start looking at adding that third service. And guys, I'm fine with and I'm thrilled to add a fourth, a fifth, a sixth, a seventh, whatever we got to do. But there's a danger in that, okay? There's a danger in that. One, your pastor's going to pass out at some point, all right? But really, honestly, if we ended up doing a Saturday night at 7, the Saturday nights at 7, we'll never get to know the Sundays at 5. And so here's the danger of doing multiple services, 100 people at a time. Here's the danger. We end up being 7 different churches meeting at the same place, pooling our resources. That's not the goal. The goal is for us to be a covenant community, a faith family, for us to know what the other ones within the body are going through. Be there to support one another and help one another to grow as iron sharpens iron. And so let me just go ahead and toss this out, guys. This is something that we need to be thinking towards. We need a bigger building. We need one. I don't know how long it will take for us to get there, but I've got a spot picked out right there where the bus is parked. Very easily, we can stick a 30-meter by 30-meter building right there, all right? For what it's worth, 30-meter by 30-meter building will be able to easily seat 1,000 people. We'll be able to put 1,000 in there. You just figure 100 times 7, and then we just stuck us all in there and we had room to grow. You know what I mean? And perhaps we need to do it in phases. Maybe we'll do where we got 500 seats and then we add on extra seats later on. That's perfectly fine, and perhaps it means that we'll have to build it in phases. In other words, one phase we throw down the slab and we all sit outside in the sun and hope it doesn't rain. And another, we put up those sides, and perhaps it means that there's going to be a period of time where we have to go back to, oh forbid, some of you wouldn't know what it's like, have to come for church with no air conditioning. Oh boy. How many of you remember that, those days? Those were hot in here, am I right? How many of you are really glad for air conditioning? I got to just ask. How many of you go, you know what? Actually, the air conditioning kind of makes me cold and I don't really like it. Anybody like that? Oh, good. Sweet. Okay. I was afraid we're going to have to turn them up. Just average numbers. I need to put this out there, guys, so that you can know. Just average numbers, in order to build a building that seats 1,000 people, 30 meters by 30 meters, average numbers, we're looking at about 3 million kina for that kind of a building. That's a lot of money, guys. Couple of things I want to say about that. First, we're in a building that you're looking at almost 2 million here. If he did it for this one, he can do it for that one. Okay? Yep. Let me mention a building fund. And so we've really been pushing for camp for the last several months. And so now I want to start talking about doing a building fund. I would love for us to be able to start doing a building fund. In fact, I don't have one of the envelopes on me, but if you look on the envelope, there's already a slot there for building fund. And we've actually had two in the last year and a half. We've had two offerings come in for the building fund. Somebody put 100 kina in, somebody else put 50 kina in. So we're at 150 kina towards 3 million. We need a few more people to do that, okay? We're going to get there, but there's already a slot on the envelope. And so if the Lord were to lay it on your heart to give towards the building fund, go right ahead. At any time, you're welcome to do that. Drop it in the offering. There's nothing wrong with that. But here's what I would love to do. I would love to start doing, perhaps quarterly, an I Love My Church service, where we would have on a Sunday, and I think the best one coming up would be Easter. Easter's going to be a big Sunday. I think it's the 16th of April, if I remember correctly. We can have, we call it I Love My Church Sunday, where we come together and we're going to worship the Lord, and we're going to worship the Lord together as a body, and we're going to say, I love my church. And on that Sunday, we take up a special offering dedicated only for the building fund. Now, guys, anything that comes in for the building fund will never be used for anything except a building. Good. I'm glad that you're thinking there, okay? Another thing I need to talk about with finances for the building. Guys, I believe very strongly in staying out of debt. I believe very strongly in staying out of debt. Number of reasons. First off, when you do not have a mortgage or a loan, guys, if you have a mortgage for your house, that's between you and the Lord, that's perfectly fine. No problem with that. But if you've got a mortgage as a church, and you're depending on people to give donations to be able to pay off a mortgage, and then how much money we can sit without air conditioning for months if we need to, in order to raise the money. Currently, in our current atmosphere, our climate here, perhaps you already know what I'm getting ready to say. Currently, churches taking out loans from the bank is leaving a bad taste in the bank's mouth. In this area, there's a very big church that took out a big loan and defaulted on it. And I talked to the leadership who told me these words, look, God gave us a building anyway. No, you cheated the bank out and gave God a bad name. I'm very opposed to doing a loan. Another thing, guys, is I believe that God has raised up the church to be, here's the word, organic. In other words, self-propagating, self-supporting. It is our job as a church to raise up our own church. And so if we're wondering where's the funding going to come for the new church building, you do me a favor and look around. That's us. Now, somebody else from somewhere else wanted to give a donation, we're not going to tell them no, okay? But we're not going to go asking for it. We're not going to go out and ask for missions dollars to help us with building a building. I'm not going to go and ask member of parliament to help us with building a building. It's not going to happen. God said, Jesus said, I will build my church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. And so that's our responsibility for us to raise it up. As I think that God is going to do something awesome, and I think that we can do it debt-free. Church planting. Church planting. So we talked about the church building. Now let me talk about church planting. Obviously, before I got to here, church planting has been a very big part of my life. Starting churches among the Kamea was a very big part. And going forward, I want to continue to emphasize that. So what does it look to start churches, plant churches? When we get to a certain point in growth where we have enough people and we also have leadership within the church that God leads us to. And guys, that's a very big thing. Acts chapter 13, God led the church at Antioch to send out Paul and Barnabas. And they sent them out. And that's what I'm praying, that there will come a day in a not too distant future, maybe a year, maybe 2 years from now, where we'll be able to send someone out like Pastor Tyler. He's already expressed a desire from his heart to start another church. And it would be somewhere on the outskirts of the city. He's thinking something like Brown River or something like Chubusaria, going and starting a church on the outskirts of town. Now, what would that be? That's us as a body sending out another church and going, this is another church, because there's people at Brown River that can't make it here. And there's people at Chubusaria that can't make it here. And so we're going to send somebody there to start a church there. And perhaps that means that a couple of us, maybe 20, 30, 40 of us, get to help out with starting that church. That's church planting. Guys, we do it with our own plants in the garden. When you see one that's getting really healthy, you cut off some shoots and you go plant it again. And that's the goal. Also in remote areas, guys, we have an airplane. Not very many people have that. We've got an airplane. Now, currently it's down for maintenance and it'll be back up in March, Lord willing. But one of the things I would love to see is through our Bible school, which, by the way, we meet on Thursday nights for Bible school. If you didn't know that, ask Brother Eric. He can organize the pickup, all right? We'll be starting that back up with term one, the week of the 13th of February. That week we start our Bible school classes back up. I would love to see some of our Bible school students that have come through training then go on to be a part of starting churches in remote areas. One place that comes to mind very quickly is a place called Waitape. How many people have heard of Waitape? Waitape is about a 20-minute flight away from here. Their weather is almost always the same as Port Moresby's weather. Now, it's up in the hills. It's much cooler up in the hills. But their weather is almost always matches the same as ours. Currently, as far as I can tell, there's no Bible-believing work being done in that area. We haven't done extensive surveys yet, but I would love. How cool would it be if we were to take two Bible school graduates on a Friday and go drop them off, and then Monday come back and pick them up, bring them back in? By the way, that's how we started the church at Anita with Konos. Every Friday I would take him down from Kodidanga and drop him off, and every Monday I'd come back and pick him up. And now we have a church at Anita. As I look forward to what God's going to be doing, and that we don't have to do just with the airplane. There are three highways headed out of this city, and you guys know how many villages are along those highways. It is our responsibility to take the gospel beyond us. It does us absolutely no good if we stay in one pot and become one giant fat plant while the rest of the world doesn't get it. And so my goal and my vision is, yes, for us to continue to grow so that we can support and send and spin off and watch God do things in other places. A couple of quick notes regarding missions trip. This next month, I plan on doing two trips myself. One, I'm going to be headed out to Anita on the 11th and 12th of January. Pastor Konos has 14 people that need to get baptized out there. I plan on going out there on the 11th and 12th and getting him in the water with me, the same as I'm doing today with Phil and Eric, so that the next one, he gets to do them. And then the following week, we're planning on doing a trip out to Coquila area. That'll be the 16th to the 18th. I'm going to be taking several of our guys. We're going to be meeting up together with some men from Gaba Gaba at Emmanuel Baptist Church. We're going to be joining together and we're going to head out towards Coquila. The plan is for us to do a survey. I have no idea what's out there. It's my very first time to go that way. Brother Eric knows that side very well. I plan on seeing what's out there. Scripture says this, "Mine eye hath affected my heart." And until we see it, we don't know what the need is. And so if you would be in prayer with me about what God might be doing in that direction. Here for the church, expository preaching has been and always will be our goal. And so we'll start right back into the book of Luke next week. Next week we're going to be the woman with the alabaster box, how she broke it over the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. That's going to be our story, and we will be finishing Luke chapter 7 next week, and we'll continue on. We'll do that for 12 weeks, and then we'll do the break where we have Family Sunday and all of the parents and children are together in here. We'll continue that. During this year, I do plan on having one breakaway series. It'll be a mini-series where we break away from our Luke series, and you pray with me for direction on when that will be, but I would love to do a series on Let's Talk About Your Home. We've done Let's Talk About the Church, and I'd love to this year, Let's Talk About Your Home, and what's it look like to be a godly Christian home. I pray that this year we will have growth, and I've used these words in the past, I'll continue to use them, in both width and in depth. And we're seeing that growth in width, and I actually think in February when people go back to school and things go back into a normal routine, we're going to see an additional growth in width. But I'm praying that our growth and width will not only be an inch deep and a mile wide. I pray instead that as we grow wide with more numbers, that our people will grow in depth and maturity with the Lord Jesus Christ. We as a pastoral staff will continue with shepherding. We will be talking to you. If you are a member, we will be talking to you about your walk with the Lord. How is your walk going? And that's going to be myself and Pastor Tyler, Brother Eric, Brother Phil. We will be talking to you regularly about that. And then I encourage you as believers to increase in your one anothering. That's looking after one another. So we talked about the church. And real quickly, I'll cover the school. The school, we've seen this last year. Thank the Lord, 2016 school year, we were able to come through debt-free. And that's just awesome. Guys, God did some amazing things to come to bring some things together financially for us at the end of the school year. And we were able to literally break even. I don't think we were a Toya under or a Toya over. We're supposed to get the bill for the electric this week. And so we have just enough, I think, to cover the electric bill for this last month. And I thank the Lord for bringing that through, which is awesome. This last year, we had 13 students in the school. Sorry, started with 13, and we finished with 16 students this last year. Coming to the next year, we're adding grade 1, and we're also getting a new teacher. Miss Rebecca Petty will be joining Rachel and Christy. And may I encourage you guys, don't treat them as the teachers that come and help us with the school. Rachel and Christy, both of them, when we had our covenant signing, Rachel and Christy, both of them joined our church. They consider this their home church, which I absolutely love. They are not from America sent here. They came here and they went, we want to be a part of this. And so may I encourage you, welcome them in like family. Our goal is to have a capacity of 60 students this year. And currently we have 37 already enrolled to the new year. So you can just do the math there. We finished with 16 and we've already got 37. We're headed to 60. If you would pray with me for those last 23 to come in. We know that the Lord can do it. Camp. This last year we had 42 campers come. And we had 16 of those put their trust in Jesus Christ. And we got to watch as God transformed these young people through the gospel. It was awesome to watch their lives. And this morning, even some of them, as they're up here singing, and I watch and I go, wait, that one, he didn't used to smile when he'd stand in front of people. And there's a change in his heart. And I look forward to what God's going to do every year with camp. Now, at the end of camp this year, as great as all of our youth thought it was, we evaluated it. So as leadership, we sat back and we went, okay, what did we do right? What did we do wrong? And one of the things that we evaluated that we'd like to change this year is the date. And so this last camp, we did it in December. There's a couple of things that there's a hiccup with. One, our teachers, part of them coming here is that they get to go back and spend Christmas with their parents. They're still young. And so if we hold camp during Christmas, then that means that they miss out. Either they miss camp or they miss Christmas with family. And so we've decided to move away from, and not only that, December is very H-O-T, hot, okay? And so we move off of December, and so our plan this year, I'll go ahead and give the dates, and you young people can write it down and start saving up your camp fee. Our dates for camp this year is going to be the 27th to the 30th of September. 27th to the 30th of September. And those of you that are involved in counseling, you might as well go ahead and take that whole week off, because we're going to do training on the 25th, 26th. So that's the 25th straight through the 30th. And we'll do this time, instead of Sunday to Wednesday, we're going to do Wednesday to Saturday. And then that'll give us a chance on Saturday afternoon to clean up and get ready for church on Sunday. I look forward to what God's going to do. That'll be on our Term 3 holiday, and the only thing that will change that is the fact that the Department of Education has not released the school calendar yet. Some of you don't realize how big a deal that is. We are weeks away from starting school, and we don't know what the calendar is yet. This is the only thing that would change that. And if it were possible, I would love to move it up by 1 week. Currently, we're looking at having it that week, the 27th to the 30th. I've already invited our special speaker for this next year. He is excited about coming. I am not going to give any more details than that. We will not have Pastor Nate back this year, and there's a reason for that, guys. It's not because I got ticked off and I'm angry at my brother, all right? Actually, the real reason is because I don't want camp to become the same speaker year after year after year. When you do that, once it gets to the fourth or fifth year and something happens and he can't come, everybody wonders what went wrong. All right? Nothing went wrong. We loved him and we look forward to him coming back in 5 or 6 years. In the meantime, we'll get some different speakers to come through. And it's good for our young people as they grow up to hear from different voices. And so we'll have new games, we'll have new skits. And this year, as much as I want to extend this and open camp to all the other churches, we are still limited by how much space we can host. And so this year we're going to expand from 42 campers this year to 60 campers. And that's what we expect our youth to be at Capital City Baptist Church. And so young people, if you're looking forward to inviting some friends, get them into one-to-one. If they can be here as a part of the church, then they can come to camp. We're not going to be opening this up to everybody and their brother. Because, guys, we just don't have space for it. And I know that if we did open it up, we would be swamped. Down the road, years down the road, we would like to open it up to have other campers, and I would love for us to be able to be a help to all the other churches in the city. Let me bring you back to Psalm 103, and we'll wrap this up for what's in the future. Psalm 103, verse number 14. For He knows our frame, and He remembers that we're dust. Guys, we can talk about all of the great things that have happened in the past. We can cast all the vision we want to. Guys, at the end of the day, we're still people. We're still fallen, frail, broken people. We can get excited about what God's going to do in the future. But guys, to be honest, we still have to get along with one another. We're still frail. Still have to extend grace one towards another. And He remembers. I love that. He knows our frame and He remembers that we're dust. And as for man, verse 15, as for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passes over it and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting, upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep His covenant, and to those that remember His commandments to do them. The Lord has prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom rules over all. So guys, as much as we talk about what we want to do, the fact of the matter still remains that we are frail. We are dust. We are, as he says, a flower that appears and we flourish and we look great, but then the wind comes along and can blow us away. And there are so many things that are just small, frail things that can change it all in an instant. So if I can just be open with you for just a minute and ask you to pray with me about, we have a major negative. Our major negative is that we do not have a title on this land. We have a registered survey. Our landowners have an ILG. And yet, just last week, a neighboring clan came forward with documentation showing that they were able to get the Surveyor General's office to deregister our survey. I hadn't heard from them in 10 months. And all of a sudden, everything changes. He is in control. Don't forget about it. And so as much as we can have vision, the wicked one still does his best to try to stop what God's doing. And so may I ask of you, pray with me, that God will do all things well. And guys, I just want you to know where my heart is. I will never walk down the road of bribing a government official. And if that means that it takes years, as it already has, to continue on, we'll wait. And let God be in control and let God be the one that takes care of it. And guys, if we can just be straight up honest, there's a 30-seater bus there that's brand new and it's well maintained and it's a good thing. But if we were headed home this afternoon, and God forbid there was an accident and it rolled off the side and we lost 30 church members, He's still in control. Don't forget about it. I'll preach your funeral, but He's still in control. Or, God forbid, 6 months from now, I wake up to a seizure, the brain tumor, and die before the end of the year. I won't preach my funeral, although that'd be pretty cool. Know that He's still in control. Remember it. Don't forget it. He's in control. He's over all things. Can I draw you back to Psalm 103? And I want to do something we don't normally do. Verses 19 to verse 22. I love these verses and I'm going to let you read them. So what I want to do is I want to read them together. But as we read them, I want you to pay attention because there is a progression. And I don't even know if I want to call it a progression because progression's seems to mean from smaller to greater, but instead it's like a recession from greater to smaller. And there is a change throughout these coming verses, verse 19 to about verse 22, that's so easy for us to overlook. And I'm not going to take the time to develop them after we read. So I want you to read them and pay attention to them. Let's read this verse together, verse 19. The Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye His angels, that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. Bless the Lord, all ye His hosts, ye ministers of His, that do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, angels. Bless the Lord, ministers. Bless the Lord, O His works, for the rocks one day will cry out. And bless the Lord, O my soul, for all of His benefits. So, Father, this morning we thank You for the things that You have done, that You are doing, and that one day You will do. Lord, I pray this morning, would You bless our year? This year of 2017 that's before us, would You bless it? All of the upcoming things that we see on the horizon and the excitement of even just beginning to plan for a new building. And the joy of watching more school children walk closer to You and families that would come as a result of those school children. Lord, You said it so well, suffer the little children to come unto Me because of such is the kingdom of heaven. And Lord, we are excited about camp this year with 60 campers and the training that we're going to do for their counselors. And Lord, I'm excited about the hearts of the young people as You turn them to Yourself. Lord, I look forward to the series on the home. I look forward to a new teacher. Lord, thank You for Rebecca. Father, we give all of these things to You because we know that they come from You alone, and without You, it is impossible for us to do anything. Lord, I'm so excited about what's going to happen here over the next 12 months at Capital City Baptist Church. Pray that You would grow us in width and grow us in depth and help us with our one anothering. Lord, I pray for Your blessing upon our lives and our families, our covenant community. Lord, I pray that You would bless the church that You promised to build. May our lips give forth praise, and may we bless the Lord from the depths of our souls. For it's in Your beautiful name we pray these things this morning. Amen.